I'm just going to read from Patrick Kavanagh. So the first one is Advent. We have tested and tasted too much lover, through a cheek too wide there comes in no wonder. But here in the Advent darkened room, where the dry black bread and the sugarless tea of penance will charm back the luxury of a child's soul, will return to doom the knowledge we stole but could not use. And the newness that was in every strange thing when we looked at it as children, the spirit shocking wonder in a black slanting Ulster hill, or the pathetic astonishment in the tedious talking of an old fool, will awake for us and bring you and me to the yard gate to watch the wind, the fog holes, carved tracks, old stables where time begins. Oh, after Christmas we'll have no need to go searching for the difference that sets an old phrase burning. We'll hear it in the whispered argument of a churning, or in the streets where the village boys are lurching. And we'll hear it among decent men too, who borrow dung in gardens under trees, wherever life flows ordinary empty. Won't we be rich, my love and I? And please God we shall not ask for reason's payment, the why of heartbreaking strangeness in dripping hedges, nor analyse God's breath in common statements. We have thrown into the dustbin the clay minted wages of pleasure, knowledge, and the conscious hour, and Christ comes with the January flower. And the second one I'll read is I Had a Future. Oh, I had a future. A future. Gods of the imagination, bring back to life the personality of those streets. Not any streets, but the streets of 1940. Give the quarter seeing eyes I looked out of, the animal remembering minds, the fog through which I walked towards the mirage that was my future. The women I was to meet were nowhere within sight. And then the pathos of the blind soul, how without knowing stands in its own kingdom. Bring me a small detail, how I felt about money, not frantic as leisure. There was the future. Show me the stretcher bed I slept on in a room on Drumcondra Road. Let John Benjamin call for me in a car. It is summer and the eerie beat of madness in Europe trembles the wings of the butterflies along the canal. Oh, I had a future.
Margaret Allen at Quietly. And next on the list we have Aidan O'Shea.
Present tense. Shed the hardened skin of the old year. Take a pumice stone to the wealth that remains. Balance the heart's annual accounts. Credit the love received and give it back with interest. Then debit the slights and the indifference by writing them off as bad debts of the past imperfect. Here is the plan for the new year. Count the heart's coinage daily and be glad. The loving glance, the hand outstretched, the laughter shared, the skim of lip on cheek, the wordless language of hope and joy. Find them tingling in the present tense.
And next we have Niall Herriot.
I stole a piece from Joe O'Connor a few years ago, Reasons to be Cheerful. I enormously gave it a cork twist, so I'm going to give it to you again, but updated a bit. Lately we're worried, we need advice. We were boomtown rats, now we're poor as church mice. This budget is our sways, it spares the top bracket. No leadership there, and the maths don't back it. Our elites care more about pleasing the market and their bloody murk and where to feck and park it. Job losses and the troika are making us fearful, but despite it all, there's reasons to be cheerful. There's the hayloft, Paul Casey on Oveo, still pulling the dibble by the tail. Johnny Spillane in the lobby bar, a pint of Murphy's, Rory Gallagher on guitar. Van the Man's Moondance, Seamus Heaney, Munster Rugby, the Opera House in Puccini. Old fellas in pubs, boozing and blathering, the great Frank O'Connor, Anne Enright at the Gathering. An EP of Elvis singing Blue Suede Shoes, When There Ain't No Cure for the Summertime Blues. Jerry Murphy's poems on a bank holiday Monday, Cork and Kilkenny and Croker some Sunday. Roddy Doyle's The Commitments. Occupy Nama, this is the year for some major drama. Dawn over Alahees, Neil Tobin, Cork Dry with Sean Keane's rendition of Skibbereen. You may travel far from your own native home, but where else would you find a cabin at home? Sweet treasure for all if only we want it. A riverside walk we take for granted. No need for hurry, no need for fury. Reasons to be cheerful by Ian Dury. You can play the fool or play the guitar, or Jimi Hendrix or Bob Dylan or Johnny Marr. We may as well read, since books can be cheap. They can't stop us reading, either smile or weep. Inchy or Banville, whatever you feel, Pete McCarthy or Phoenix or the great Brian Friel. So it ain't all bad, there's reasons to chuckle. There's bishops flying the couple of fuckle. The banks would give you a pain in the belly, but there's always our comedians and Republic of Tilly. So the second government is out of touch, but whoever is in office, it don't matter much. Recession, depression, the figures, the facts. The stuff they can't touch, stuff they can't tax. They would if they could, but they can't, so they're peaked. They're hurried, they're worried, they're phased, they're freaked. But we laugh out loud at their farcical ambitions. Do what we want, don't need their permission. Or be told how to vote by these irrelevant fellas. May as well listen to Martha and the Vandellas. Soon it'll be summer with dancing in the streets, and we'll still be here when they lose their seats. When grandparents were young, there were hungry years, slums in the cities, emigrant tears. So the boom's now bust, but we ain't going back. Don't get depressed, it's not all that black. We live in a country where it rains and it pours, but we have floods, not tsunamis. No earthquakes, no more wars. Now we may have an unpayable national debt, but the spooks don't waterboard us, at least not yet. There's Crane Lane, Monster Lit, the Lark in the Park, cheetahs in photo, beach fires in the dark. We're not back in England at the time of emergence of Maggie Thatcher and that right-wing resurgence. Now we're not up there with your Norways, your Swedens, and other such comparative Edens. But it's a free country, as free as your Hollands, thanks to Connacht's Paul Michael Collins. The troubles are over, peace in our homes, Martin McGuinness is writing poems. The Reverend Ian swallowed his pride and showed a friendly, more feminine side. The polls are going, there's a strain on the purse, but all things considered, it could be worse. We're a shook up, mixed up, post-Tiger nation, sorely in need of some consolation. But just look around, you'll see it's all here, a kiss at midnight on Dingle Pier. Our loved ones, our families, our kids, our mates. And with the National Library's exhibition on Yeats. Feeling down? Get up, we're fighters, with great music and humour and the best of writers. We gave away our resources and ironed this bust, but let's unite for a society that's just. There's the Cork Jazz Festival, don't be downhearted. And here's to old Bertie and he departed. West Cork in summer, the National Museum, we've reason to be cheerful. We just have to see him.
Yes, Noel. I don't remember having the devil by the tail. It was the Arts Council I had by the tail. That will do. Next we have Seamus Harrington.
Moments. Broken white lines pass under the fender, each a split second, a winking cat eye, no time to ponder, past here now. The pharmacy. We'll be more careful. We care most for the needy. We dispense with care. Open mic. Open mic. I thought I saw you once, behind the hayloft door, before the Christmas break. Some Monday night, drop in, just after 8 o'clock, while some may read a piece, and others sing a song. Some more just lend an ear, a light to stand around. There's always ample room below the horse's head. The muse may breathe a word. The McNamara slam, renowned both far and wide, and then the guest comes on. So what if you don't write, come meet our famed MC, each name is on his sheet. I feel you're not too sure, survey the pros and cons. I know, but what the heck, the crowd is on your side. Do I come here a lot? You bet, indeed I do. No rush, just take your time. When asked if you're all set, you could reply, I am. Thank you.
Thank you, Seamus. Next, we have another regular, Patricia Walsh.
Thank you, Paul. This was called Winter Evening. Do sit down. I cannot find words or time to describe you. Make yourself some tea. Sit down by the carriage clock that sings the hour. I don't know you, Doc Law. I've seen a finer point for fine extinction. Beauty never lasts long enough to appreciate being glory. I love you so much that it hurts. As you remain by the fire alone, I see the blood between us rise and overflow. Don't make a scene, just relax. Rest with me a while. The winter sunset grapples with attention with the stars. Switch off the sun, let us rise to occasions when nothing is demanded. Thank you.
Thanks, Patricia. And next up we have our latest McNamara Slam champion, Kieran McCarthy.
This is a song called What Are You Gonna Say? You know they say that I'm doing fine. It's a good cotton bud, fish is a good line. Walks a fine march, burns a good pine. What are you gonna say, but it hurts sometime? What are you gonna say, but it hurts sometime? You know they say that I'll be alright. The past is gone and the future's bright. The course is run and the day is done. What are you gonna say, but it hurts sometimes? What are you gonna say, but it hurts sometimes? You know they say that you'll be mine in a dream with no mountain to climb. in a haze where the church bells chime. What are you gonna say, but it hurts sometimes? What are you gonna say, but it hurts sometimes? In the morning, I see your face, and in the evening, I've lost my place, and the streets don't shine, and the words don't rhyme. What are you gonna say, but it hurts sometimes? What are you gonna say, but it hurts sometimes?
Thank you, Kieran. Next up, we have next week's guest poet, Sir George Harding.
Our forefingers and cock our thumbs and wave the similes of guns at the cabin crew. or our trigger fingers, or our middle fingers, or an allegory for urban poverty and a misspent youth, on our truth bullets travel to gullet barrels of swimless fishes, for we are the love child of Oscar Wilde and Sid Vicious, and we make wishes on horses and bet on shooting stars. I said rest, sorry. The next piece is not finished, but it's kind of autobiographical, so I guess never finished. The North Gun. I came into the world in a short, sharp world, a shell-sharp child, a shell-sharp girl, and a song and a scene and a grief in the air. I bent to the wind when it blew in my hair, and I crawled and I walked and I bowed and I talked and I broke through the castles and the soldiers, or battered from the hills by that spread court, and I grew at the school and the rules of the breaking, the mind of the making, the mind for taking, divine inspiration, divine realization that's going to dominate a sublime revelation.
Let's go home. We're 2.5 hours anyway. Whole poem out of you. Thanks. The last poet for this evening. And we hope to see you next week for George Harding. And once again, thank you again to Helena Nora. And we'll be announcing for them. Is Colin McManus.
Thanks, Bob. This is said, I just want to read the introduction to a short story I published in 410 a few years ago. I have a few copies of this, so if anyone wants this one, they can just ask me for it after. It's called The Red Baron. Martin Walsh worked the green soap into a Lazarus' clasped hands and applied it to his white stubble. He thought of her, Helen, as he massaged and softened the bristle. It would have to be a proper shave. It was Sunday again. He picked up his razor and wet the blade with hot water from the kettle. It was the oldest blade he used first, to get the ends, he'd say. Like the other two, it was a double-edged Wilkinson, and he swore by them. He could extend the life of each blade and continue to get an excellent shave by rotating them. The first and rough shave was executed with the oldest blade, which had been cleaned and refitted to his razor after the previous day's ablutions. Starting beneath his right sideburn, he blew out his cheek, and bending to the mirror, he watched the razor cut a swath through the soap. He studied the razor as it clipped the tangled white and grey hair high in his cheekbone, and he remembered he'd had the dream again. He was glad the dream hadn't woken him and pushed it out of his mind. He rinsed the razor before repeating the process on the other cheek. He rinsed the razor again and threw his head back, shaving his neck upwards, keeping the skin taut by pulling it in front of the razor with the forefinger of his left hand, all the while managing to keep the operation in view by peering down his nose at the mirror. He then relathered the bristle under his nose and pumped air into his upper lip before cutting delicately. He rinsed his face with lukewarm water before changing blades. He slid the blade, which left behind the water stain and its lightness, to the edge of the glass shelf before lifting it between thumb and forefinger and placing it on the gaping head of the razor. He thought of Helen's delicate wrists, her cutting sarcasm. He worked the green soap again and repeated the process, twice, to find the time using the best blade. Content, he rinsed with gusto, splashing water onto his neck and into his ears, and rubbing furiously with both hands, he scraped out his ears with his forefingers while rubbing behind his ears with his thumbs. He dried off with a stiff towel until his cheeks and neck flushed with the scrubbing. He thought of her again, but there was still plenty to do before evening, and the putting on of his uniform, and going to meet her at the Spring Grove.